Welcome back to another great episode of What Is It? We Speak Dispatch. We're talking it right to you. And I hope you're listening. And if you are listening, tell all your friends about us because we're all over the damn place and we offer some great conversations for you. So today we're joined by our special guest. We've got John over there. Hi, John. How are you today?
Hello. Hello.
Great. Welcome. With Joe down here. Joe, how's everything going in your part of the world?
Everything's going great. Just got back from a national monument and looking forward to this episode.
I saw that on Instagram. Very good. Very good. I thought maybe your Phillies thing was popping up there. So that was your thing. So, and Jill's down there. Jill, how goes it in your part of the world over there?
Doing well, recovering from a birthday weekend with family. So
that's right. It was your birthday. That's right. It was your birthday. You turned all of 25. So there you go. So, and for me, it's always a nice day in our beautiful home office there. So today we're joined by our special guest because we're going to do a series of these based on people that have gone from the private sector into 911 or the reverse, going from 911 to the private sector. Mm. What'd you learn? What'd you take with you? What is something that's maybe idiosyncratic, look at me, Sam. Big, what is different about each place and how do you mend those things together and make it one big thing out there? So today we're joined by our special guest, Jesse. Jesse, tell us a little bit about yourself out there so we can start questioning you.
Hello. Sure. My name is Jesse Lewis. I work for a private company to support the 911 industry. I work exclusive to the lane of supporting 911 dispatchers, telecommunicators. And I did not previously come from dispatch. I have a background in human resources, recruiting, and higher education.
You know, in our world, recruiting and hiring is so massive.
That's true.
Every place I go, people are like, we can't get anybody, we can't keep anybody. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you could bring some of your expertise in for something like that. So, all right. So what are you learning about the world of 911 by coming in it from an outside thing? Now you're dealing with nothing but 911 people. What are you learning about people and about 911 in general?
So that's a really good question. And
thanks. I wrote it down. So.
We are crazy.
Yeah.
It was really disruptive. Like when I came in, everything that I thought I was completely wrong. So I pretty much had to humble myself immediately. And I think learn how to research and learn how to work from a place of like being a student again.
Oh, okay. All right. What did you think about 911 before you came in? Did you think it was just people answering calls or?
Oh boy. So, okay.
mean, don't be careful.
She watched the movie.
Here we go.
TV shows.
Please tell me you didn't watch that movie, The Call.
No, I did not watch the movie, The Call, but I did watch the TV shows. And in preparation for stepping into my position, I watched all of the TV shows. So pretty much everything they say don't do, and like it's not a realistic depiction. Right. I leaned into it.
Okay.
But my experience was a bit personal because growing up, I had a neurological condition. And so that merited my parents having to call 911.
Oh,
and so I knew a little bit. I mean, I didn't really have my faculties about me when they made the call. But when my parents would recount the experience, they knew of telecommunicators. They knew that, you know, there was a dispatch communication taking place to be able to have medical help arrive on site. Wow. So I had a peripheral understanding for that reason.
You came in with some real life experience out there in the
streets. For sure.
Wow. Calling that. All right. Well, that's good. So what else have you learned about dispatch people in general? I mean, you came from human resources.
Yeah.
Do you find that there's some commonalities with this stuff or is it completely different or what?
Yeah. When I stepped in, I was super uptight and it was a stark contrast because I learned that if you step into the industry with the attitude of like, do no harm and come from a selfless place of supporting and having respect and admiration for the work that's being done, people are pretty open and will embrace you. I think that's why, not to jump ahead with probably questions you have, but that's probably why I survived the 10 months is people were incredibly kind and incredibly giving with knowledge.
Wow.
So even if like I did a demo, you know, demonstrating our product to a prospective PSAP, I would have a lineup of questions so that way I could understand what their needs looked like. And they were so giving. And I would, you know, just call people that I would meet at conferences with their business card and be like, hey, I saw this. I can't find a place to put it in my brain. Can you help me with additional context? And people would take time out of their day and answer my questions when it was completely unnecessary. So I think that was one of probably something that I didn't expect, because you don't always find that in other industries that you work. People maybe work from a place of self-preservation and, you know, asserting their own needs, but that was really dramatically different here. So
that's great. I'm surprised, because sometimes in our business, people seem a little hard to get along with, and you're coming in from outside going, man, they're totally nice. It's like,
yeah.
So let's take it around the horn here. John, do you have any questions for Jesse over there? Joe?
I guess, you were coming from human resources, so you were private now entering. I'll think of something, but right now I can't.
Awesome. All right. How about you, Jill? Do you got anything for Jesse up here?
I've seen you over the last year, and I would have never guessed that it's only been 10 months.
Yeah.
Oh,
You seem very comfortable, very knowledgeable, and now I understand why, because you've taken the time to ask the questions instead of just assuming and going from a place of, okay, I know what I'm doing because I came from this area. It's the same here. You've really taken the time to understand what's going on.
Well, you know, before we get to Joe, let me just ask you this, Jesse. Have you been in comm centers? Have you gone actually in and sat with people doing the job?
Yeah, so that was one thing that I really wanted to do. And so I was lucky enough to be able to step into a communication center. Mm. And the way that this center was established is they had a call taker, and then they had dispatch separate, and they dispatched for a medical, fire, and EMS. So I was able to see the setup, and it oh, wow. That was like, whoa. Yeah. I mean, I remember I left and I sat in my car, and I'm an extremely shy person, but I think that engaging in a small group or a conversation, I often am not at a loss for words, but I found myself just sitting there letting it marinate everything that just happened, because it was completely sensory overload. And I don't think that there's a way that you can explain it. I really don't, but it was incredible.
Wow.
So I thought of a question. Oh,
there you go. Go.
So Jesse, you said you've been at a center that has separate functions. Have you also been at other centers that operate differently?
Oh yeah.
No.
And been exposed to, it's not just how one center operates. Like it's just so, every agency is so varied. So how have you put those pieces together?
Oh, you're hitting on the nerve of my heartbeat. So that's one of the biggest obstacles right now that I feel that I'm trying to close my gap to understand better. So I do have intentions of sitting in different centers, because the reason why I humbled myself at the start is because with handling different states, I at first wanted to do that classic blanket, oh, this is what I've learned in this state, let me apply it over here. And then I learned quickly, you can't even do that in a region, let alone a state.
Yeah.
So you're going to earn every ounce of those differences and those nuanced details.
Yeah.
If the center is supporting more of a rural location, those challenges that are presented there versus if it's concentrated in a city area. And so I definitely want to sit in to see, because I don't think that I can achieve that by research. So I plan to.
It is a different animal. I mean, it really is a different, no matter where you go. All of us have worked in comm centers, and I guarantee all of us have done something different. So it just, you know, John's in a humongous center. I mean, you know, I was in a big center for a while and then a small center. So it's like, and Joe's in a center in the Midwest. It's like one of these things where you're like, it's different wherever you go out there. So it's just something like that. So Joe, go ahead.
That's my favorite thing to do at conferences is to like go in and sit in and talk to people, like the dispatchers, and just ask them like how they're set up, so I can get a feel for like how their symphony sounds off when there's an emergency, the players involved, you know, and how they come together.
Wow.
I would like to pick on your expertise from where you came from. We've asked you a lot of questions about 911. I would like you to speak a little bit to your human resource experience and say, what can 911 centers do that are short staffed that maybe we're not doing, that you've used in other positions to hire people, to attract people to our profession? What can we do different that we're not doing today?
Damn, that's
hold on, let me get my larger notepad.
I'm going to write it down myself for what you got.
I definitely see with just like current partners that I'm helping, I can feel a burden, because when I'm, you know, supporting them or helping them understand a feature, they're actively dispatching on the floor. And So that for me was like a touching moment of like true admiration that I felt for like the burden that must be felt with retention.
Yeah.
So this is going to be funny. I might be the weirdest special guest you've ever had, just a healthy disclaimer.
No.
So my title was, I worked for a mortgage company and I was a happiness guru and a talent liaison director. So
that was your title?
Yes, that was
happiness
my title.
Happiness guru. Oh my God.
So, and that was always fun to try to explain to people and to get out in one breath. Because, you know, it's a little bit of an unusual title that you don't hear every day. Wow. But really the ethos behind it was to, the happiness guru was to be able to work with mediation components. And, you know, there's a toxicity that can ensue when people are afraid to approach or talk about something that violates their value system in the workplace or something that is pressing on them and they can't vocalize. And so they go to peripheral places to do it. Maybe they talk to coworkers, they talk to people that they feel like will be a safety valve where they can push out that feeling that they have, but not that it will actually rectify or change anything. So then it just kind of becomes this epidemic where these feelings are felt, they're being expressed, but there's no reconciliation that's happening because they're not reaching the right people.
Yeah.
So long story short, that was the goal of my role, was to help support people, be the advocate, and allow that conversation to be more effective and hit at the nerve. And for
how did you get people to talk like that? Because I know sometimes, like, I deal with that when I go teach a class, I'll hear people complaining about stuff. Yeah. And then you talk to their directors, is like, I have an open door policy. And well, you really don't, because they don't want to talk to you. I'm like, how do you spur that kind of, like, you really need to bring it home to talk to us about it?
So I think I struggled a lot because I'm a bit of a people pleaser and I would feel a huge sense of accountability for people to feel good in the workplace. And if I didn't see that it reached fruition the way that I wanted it to, or what needed to look like for them, I'd hold myself like deeply accountable. Mm. A lot of times what I did was I was kind of like, I keep on using the word disruptive, but that's really what I did. So my goal was like to try to do nothing just kind of generic. Like I tried to be intentional. So like in my office, I had these like lanterns and then I had aromatherapy and I would just have like, I had my team dressed up as Care Bears for Halloween. So we like worked on being like really approachable. I remember I hung a pinata from my office and like when people felt like they just needed to like push the energy out, I was like, go do it. Because it was almost like an instant way to put things in perspective that
it's kind of neat. I mean, really, you know, it's kind of funny. It's
I know, like, it sounds kind of
we would have candy everywhere. We would have candy everywhere.
Like daily. Wow.
We have people and so, slamming the hell out of it. Yeah.
I think a lot of people, they needed to like do something in order to make, like I needed to do something to disarm them and to allow them to feel comfortable and to see a visible proof of that and to eliminate cues that they're used to seeing, which puts up those barriers that they have. So if you walk into an office and the desk is 10 feet into the office, you're sending these power cues when your employees walking in. And so those are all things that are slowly closing them up. But my goal and behind it was to really open it and to not allow those cues to close them up. Yeah.
Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that because it used to be like way back when I was learning how to be a supervisor. It was when somebody comes in, don't be sitting on your email. Don't be sitting behind the desk. I mean, move over so you can actually have some sort of contact with this person. And it really does work a lot better because I've dealt with a lot of management who, when they call me in the office, they're busy texting or working on their stuff. And I'm like, they're not even listening to what I'm saying. It's like, why should I bother?
Right.
So that's a big thing. I'm not sure about the pinata thing, but
I think it's hard to like lead with the human factor. I think being measured is really good, but I think sometimes when you're so measured, it can make it feel like it's disingenuous the moment that you're having and that you're required to, rather than being there with the intention of changing because you really care. So
Joe, how do you guys do it over there? How do you like engage, get people to engage to say like, they can tell you what's been going on the floor. How do you work that?
Yeah, we do pretty well at it overall, but sometimes we get isolated by shifts rather than the department. Like the midnight shift will do a good job talking to me about the midnight shift. And then when we get short staff and people start to blend together and work more together with overtime, we start to crumble a little bit, because then now all of a sudden they're not used to having those conversations with other people. And ironically, we're working on that right now. So I'd say we do a great job with each shift. But once the shift starts to bleed together, when we haven't done it in a while, or we don't do it as often as we are now because we're short staff, we have to work on that. And we have to work to becoming one department. And that's what my goal is for this next few months, is getting everybody to talk regardless of what shift you're on. And how I do it is making myself available. I've said on many episodes that I do not do a good job at seeing my midnight shift. I still don't do a good job seeing my midnight shift.
But you're aware of it.
I'm aware of it. I did see him twice last week, but that's rare. Hey. Yeah, that's rare. That's rare. So I think that it's a two-way street that I need to do. It needs to start with me. I need to do a better job at seeing everybody. And also, when I walk around the room and I first get there and just ask them, how you doing? That goes a long ways. And yeah, on the mornings I don't do it, I could say I come in, I have to go right to a meeting. If I don't say, hey, I got a meeting, I'll be right back. If I don't say or address them at all, they think instantly I'm in a bad mood.
Oh, nice.
You know, so
I'll give a shout out to Joe, because I saw Joe do a presentation, and he did something with these beach balls that, if you don't know what he did, it's a great, like, you can look at it going, oh my God, I never thought about it like that. And it's a great. Yeah. So if you never get a chance, or if you ever get a chance to see Joe in person, please have him do that exercise. It's a really good one. So John, how do you guys engage?
I think we can put candy and beach balls then, and people can just like laugh.
Candy and beach balls. Well, combining everything.
And the depending on the type of call, you know, we'd go through a heck of a lot of paper mache.
Do you think, John, because you work such a big agency, do you think everybody out there has a fair, like, they know they can come and say something about, like, maybe this isn't working, or that's not, or I don't like this, or what can they do? Do you think they feel like that?
I don't think it's a feeling. I think it's just a practice. People are just vocal and will speak up, and sometimes not even hesitate depending upon the environment, good or bad.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to, okay, let's scale it back. Like, okay, this wasn't meant for everybody, or what do you mean by that? And then you have to resolve the situation in a private setting. Right. But yeah, I don't find that people are hesitant on speaking up as much.
I think 9-1 in general is not hesitant about anything.
Pretty much.
Pretty willing.
I do want to say something. When Joe was talking about how the shifts, you have problems when you start to mingle them.
Yeah.
I know at my old center, my shift, the way the shifts were constructed, like, you basically hung out and partied with your shift. Your days off were spent with your shift. So you're almost like a family with your shift versus it being a working relationship where everybody's melded together. Yeah. So I could see where when you start to meld three or four different shifts together, you have all these different personalities coming together and people trying to compete for who's better.
Yeah.
And like your alpha over here is trying to be the alpha over there.
Yeah, I agree with Jill 100%. We don't really have problems. We're just not as effective at communicating. And it starts with me getting them together and doing in-service training. I don't think we really have problems. We're just not as smooth as what we normally are when we're just working their shifts, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, in our final few minutes, so it is this topic about going from private to public, or public to private, whatever it's going to be. I mean, Joe's had that experience, because Joe, did you start 9-1, then left, come back, and in that kind of mix?
Yeah, I started at a center, went to a different center, became a manager, then left and went to a phone cable internet company. And that taught me a ton about the phone systems and technology, and prepared me for next generation 911, and made me much better at the job that I'm in now. And then I went back to the center that I started in as a manager. So I've went all the way full circle, and I've been the manager in that position for the last 12 years. And I am very thankful. And the one thing I was going to ask Jesse is, if you could take one trait from the private industry and then don the 911 headset and work at council, what would you bring from the private industry that would make you better at being a 911 dispatcher?
Wow.
Great question.
That's a good one. I'm going to write that one down right under the pinatas.
Okay. So my first job out of college was in a call center, and I worked for a car insurance company. And so I toggled between claims and then sales. And so I learned the beauty of call handling and taking control of a call. I think probably empathy would probably be my way to, I think, gain control of a call. be able to lead it through. So yeah. I don't know if I answered your question. No, that's what comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, that right there is kind of what we're, this whole series of episodes we're going to do on moving between industries and what you take with you. I mean, Jill was in 901 and now she's in private industry. And you know, you deal with a lot of stuff. So
I think the biggest thing I learned was when somebody's upset, it's not me, it's the situation.
Yeah.
So as long as you can take yourself out when somebody's saying you, it's not you, it's the situation. And I think that was one of the biggest things, my biggest takeaway from having spent a decade answering 911 calls.
And that's cool. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about this whole thing. And we definitely appreciate, Jesse, you stopping by, giving us your heads up about pinatas and Care Bears. And, and what was the title again? You were the
happiness guru, talent liaison director.
I love that.
Right out of a Lucky Charms box.
Well, that'll be part of the title of this thing. So Jesse, the happiness guru. So we'll talk
about
that.
You're welcome.
So if you're not listening to us, everybody out there, please join us. Leave a comment. Let us know if you went from the private to the public or the public to the private, whichever you did out there. We'd love to have you as a guest and stop by and you maybe could sit right there where Jesse's at. Well, maybe not with her, but maybe in that same box area up there. So it's important. Joe, how are we doing on our social media stuff out there?
Wow, we're doing amazing. We just hit 13,000 plays. We roll over to 13,000 to start season 3, 35 different countries. Make sure you're following us on TikTok. That's the one we got to push because there's some funny behind the scenes stuff. So if you're not following us, make sure you follow us on there. But we're all over on every social media platform as well.
I'm loving that stuff. That's so good. And TikTok is so much fun because you can put some really behind the
scenes. Doug has really gotten into TikTok.
Yeah, I've got a few that we're going to be posting here about certain things. So you'll see that stuff. All behind the scenes, all adult content. But anyway, so we definitely appreciate y'all coming by. Thanks to the rest of our famous crew out there, John, Joe, and Jill. And thanks again, Jesse, for you. Go out and make it a great day because you know we all will.
Hi, this is Courtney, and you've been listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch. Proudly sponsored by our friends at Zybex.
911 emergency, what are you reporting?
911 emergency, we're reporting.